we could continue with just what was mentioned in chapter 23, the first three verses, that especially looking at verse 3, this idea that Joshua begins to review by saying, "You have seen all that the Lord your God has done." This was mentioned in the introduction, but just to emphasize, "You have seen what the Lord your God has done. The Lord your God is he who has fought for you." And he is able in that verse, not is able, he purposely in that verse leaves himself out of that conversation, where he could have said something like, "You remember how the Lord has used me to fight these battles or to lead in the battles." In fact, that was indeed his responsibility. Lead the people out, bring them in. But he doesn't say, "You remember how the Lord has used me." He said, "Remember how the Lord has fought for you." He does say, we didn't read these verses that follow, but he does say what he has done in verse 4. But he emphasizes, this is just the daily stuff. This was just part of his daily responsibility, you might say. But when it comes again to verse 5, how is there going to be progress? The Lord will continue to be faithful. And in the verses that we didn't read, verses 4 down to 13, he has many things to reach their consciences. He has such a nice way as a shepherd leading the sheep of reminding them of what to strive for. Be courageous, verse 6. Hold fast to the Lord in verse 8. Such a nice phrase. Look what he says in verse 8. "You shall hold fast to the Lord your God in the future, as you have done to this day." This would have been maybe an opportunity to say, except for that one time and that other time and that other time, where he could have said all the times where they didn't hold fast to the Lord in that particular moment. But they really wanted to serve the Lord. He takes them on that line. You've held fast to the Lord until this day. Such a nice phrase to add in for their encouragement. But he makes the point to reach their consciences in these verses that we didn't read. There is reward for faithfulness. There is discipline. There is judgment for unfaithfulness. Don't mix yourselves with the other nations. But in verse 14, he reaches their hearts. And this is what's necessary for someone who is encouraging another believer to take up the mantle, to use the metaphor from Elijah to Elisha, to pick up the baton, the way Paul speaks of handing on truth. He tells them about their consciences too. Tells them not only about their consciences, I mean, but also their hearts. You know in your hearts. This is how spiritual progress is made, is communicated, how encouragement is communicated from one to another, reaching the conscience, but also reaching the heart. One brother wrote, "When only the conscience is reached, then the one who is being reached by his conscience or her conscience runs away to hide." Like Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord in the garden, their consciences were reached, they ran to hide. They had nowhere to go. But the heart is reached, there's a sacrifice, relationship is maintained. Joshua points them to the Lord, he reaches their conscience, but he also reaches their hearts.
The saints of God speaking about and reviewing God's faithfulness, he ever remains the same. But speaking about God's faithfulness, one speaks about their own experience. And I would like to make a contrast between Joshua and Moses. Moses' line was to draw attention away from him, because that's what the servant of the Lord does. He doesn't draw attention to himself. He draws attention to the source, to the Lord himself. When Moses spoke to the people, he says, "Remember that the Lord Jehovah brought you out of Egypt. It wasn't me." That's why he continued that message. Even when he appeared on the Transfiguration Mountain, it says, him and Elijah spoke about his exodus. You know, Moses could have displayed or said something about his own exodus. He wrote the book of Exodus. And Elijah could have spoken a little bit about his own unique exodus, but that will be out of order. They spoke about the Lord's exodus. So Moses, at the end of his life, speaks about how the Lord brought you out of Egypt. But you know what Joshua speaks of? In his own experience? Jehovah the Lord has fought for you. A different line. He has experienced the conflict aspect of things. So that when he was reviewing God's faithfulness, he says, listen, don't forget. It's not I, because probably they thought of Joshua as the one who fought the battles. But he will tell them, Jehovah fought for you. And brethren, what a wonderful lesson that when the servant of the Lord is reviewing God's faithfulness, there'll be nothing of self. You know, we have this within us. We like to make much of ourselves. But when someone completely surrenders to God himself, you can rest assured that when they speak, they bring no one save the Lord himself.
Between the last words of Moses and the last word of Joshua, I would like to make a contrast between the last word of Joshua and the last words of Paul in Acts chapter 20, because there are similarities there. But just to point out what Steve was saying, there is something touching about these men of God in the last words. The last word of Moses, the last word of Joshua, the last word of Jacob before, the last word of Samuel, and greatest of all, the last words of the Lord Jesus in John 14 to 17, where really our hearts are taken up with the one who took care of us in the past, who will take care of us in the present, and who takes care of us in the present, and who will take care of us in the future. But Paul also, just similar to Joshua, as he counter to the people and recount in Acts chapter 20 to the elder of the church of Ephesus. Here, just like Joshua called the elders and the officers of the people and count before them what God have done. There in Acts chapter 20, Paul speaks about the grace of God. He speaks about the kingdom of God. He speaks about the church of God. He speaks about the counsel of God. He speaks about that which God has bought by the blood of his own son. There he speaks about the inheritance among those who are sanctified. And there also he warns against those grievous wolves that will come from among themselves to scatter the people of God. If we take heed to the last words of these dear saints of God, we would not be where we are today. And just a touching thing about Joshua, as we have heard already, he mentioned in this, in chapter, I think, in 23 and 24, 14 times, the Lord your God. He is directing the eyes always to the one who took care of them in the wilderness, the one who is taking care of them in the land, and the one who will continue to take care of them if they cleave to him. And he put the choice before them in the end of chapter 24. You make up your mind. Who do you want to follow? There's consequences for every decision you're going to make. But he recounts always the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God and encourage their eyes to be focused. Joshua will be gone. Paul said, I am departing. I'm leaving. He told that to Timothy. I'm going to leave. But if I tarry, that you might know how to behave yourself in the house of God.